Now today I would love to speak about a subject matter which I think could help you very much in your own Krishna conscious development. It is a subject which is very dear to the heart of those who are serious about their spiritual goal. In spiritual life, you need three things. A clearly defined satya, that is a goal of your practice. A very clearly defined sadhana, that is a spiritual practice, which is capable of bringing you to that goal. And sadhus, or spiritual personalities, who can increase the inclination to reach that goal in you, the desire, in other words, and who also can help you by their realized discussions to overcome the obstacles which are sometimes between you, where you presently are, and the goal which you wish to aspire. Now, in order to take full advantage of this, you know, the goal, the journey, and those who go along with you, I can express it like this, you need one quality which is called aikyantam. It is a very mysterious quality which is sometimes lacking on the spiritual path. When that quality is not with you, you will not actually be able to be successful. I would like to discuss this on the basis of the work Brihad Bhagavatamrita, It's called aikantyam. It comes from the word anta. Anta means the end. It can also mean the end of an arrow, which is the sharp point of the arrow. And eka means one end. When it becomes the word aikantyam, we mean something which is in German, Einspitzigkeit. That's a very old German word, which most of you who are young people don't know any longer. Einspitzigkeit means also various ways. It's called Einpünktigkeit. It's also an old word which is not used any longer in the German language. So let me try to translate it into the English language. Aikantyam means to be fixed on one goal to the exclusion of all other goals. The example of an archer in German, Bogenschütze, is used. For the archer to reach his goal, I better point in another direction. It's so aggressive if someone goes like, you know. For the archer to reach his goal, he really must be sure that his consciousness is totally fixed on that goal. Those of you who know about arching, archery, thank you. They know if you have your consciousness on that one point which you want to reach, at that time your body will make the necessary movements and will align itself. It will bring itself in the proper position so that you could reach your goal. Yes, this is the example. What does this mean? The example wants to tell us, if you really want to reach Krishna, Goloka Vrindavan, and want to become a servant there, then you definitely need, I can't jump. You need to fix yourself on one goal. A good example can be seen here in this very wonderful picture which Kuvaleshaya Vishwakarma, the person with the longest name, borrowed me for the use of this lecture. Here you see a devotee at the end of his journey. He is falling into the embrace of the Lord while the Lord's servants are there and blessing him with their presence and with their good wishes. Huh? Now, we hear from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which is for which this is an illustration. I really request you to go to Kuvaleshaya Vishwakarma and ask him if you can look at this photo. It's so good. We can hear that before this devotee reached Krishna and finally embraced him like this, before this happened, he had to be concentrated on his goal. And no matter what came his way, attractive other spiritual, stations and achievements, he had to be fixed on his goal. That's how he came to Krishna. Now, on a much, not that qualified level, on a level which is more relevant for us, maybe, we also will have to learn this art of becoming aikantyam. That means fixed on our goal, so that we will be able to overcome the various obstacles and diversions which are there on our path. So today I would like to tell you a sacred narration in which we will hear some information about aikantyam and which will hopefully inspire you, because it is a very, very powerful inspiration. But I first have to control myself to not keep looking on this photo, which is just so. I mean, if you see it from close, they turn their faces on this photo. Wow, it's really a photo. Like, it just moves. As I said, go to Kuvaleshaya Vishwakarma. That could be a way to overcome your economical crisis, Kuvaleshaya. You just sit there and ask for donations to why not? So good. I will concentrate and I request you to also concentrate. The Brihad Bhagavatamrita has different levels of stories, and one story I would like to tell you. There was once a Brahmana who was born in the area of Braj, in the sacred town of Mathura. But he settled in Assam, where he stayed near to a temple of Parvati. She is called in that name Kamakhya Devi, who is the wife of Lord Shiva. So somehow this goddess Kamakhya understood that this Brahmana is a devotee of Krishna, because he took his birth in Krishna's in the sacred dham, the sacred place of Krishna, Mathura. And one night she appeared in the dream of this Brahmana and said, "I will give you now a sacred mantra." And she gave him the mantra of the Gopal mantra. I can't tell it to you, unfortunately, because it's top secret. But this mantra is known to those of us who have received the second initiation. It's a very powerful mantra, which in effect connects us with this scene, this spiritual scene, Krishna, who is the lover of his devotees, first and foremost the gopis and Srimati Radharani. So this mantra was given to this brahmana, but the brahmana was a little bit like an ISKCON brahmana who's not often very educated. I mean, you are the exceptions who sit here. And he really did not know, you know, what this mantra is all about. It's something which maybe some of you have also seen in your life. I have heard for some of you, Jesus appeared in their dreams and directed you to Krishna consciousness. Or in India, you very, very often find those who visit regularly the temple of Lord Shiva are directed by Shiva to a Krishna temple if their Ishta Deva is Krishna. If you go now to the temple of Juhu Beach, about half of the Bhakta ashram, you know, the young novice type of people, the beginners on their spiritual path, they used to visit the Shiva temple just across the street. And then Shiva appeared in their dreams and told them, no, go to Radharasa Bihari and so on. This is very frequent. Maybe you who are from the Western background have other. So I know of devotees where Mother Maria, whom they worshipped, said, told them, well, go on such and such day into town and there will be someone who will sell you a sacred book and buy it, you know, that they read the Bhagavad Gita. In my own life, it was Mick Jagger who brought me to Krishna consciousness. Krishna had arranged it like this, that I would get an impetus from that unlikely source, so to say. But Krishna arranges for each one different persons who give the impulse. It's called Vatman Pradakshaka Guru, the one teacher who teaches us the path or directs us to the path. He may not stay with us while we walk on the path, but he gives that impulse. Huh? So this Kamakya Devi appeared to this brahmana who was next to her temple and gave her even a mantra. So with this mantra, he chanted it and he felt no longer satisfied in his ordinary life and began a pilgrimage. And for instance, to the banks of the Ganga, to the town Kashi he went. And there he met various personalities who talked with him about various spiritual goals and various methods to achieve them. I don't know if some of you were in that situation also when you started your spiritual journey. Maybe you also met many people who told you of their experiences. I remember my friend was with an organization called Maharishi Transcendental Meditation, and it's a yogi from India who started that. And I remember my friend was always telling me, you must also get the mantra from this organization. It costs 50 euros at that time, 100 mark, you know. And I said, I'm poor, I only take this mantra if you give it for free. You're my friend, be my friend now. So I got it for free, and I chanted the mantra a little bit, and I felt some peace in my heart chanting it, and it like that. And I heard also other people. It was a time in my generation where we were very interested, young people, in spiritual development, and there were various paths which came my way, and I can understand what the Brahmana felt. The Brahmana felt, I've heard so many things now, but I can't make up my mind which of the many methods I should practice and what is my true goal in life. I remember myself, after I have heard transcendental meditation or Celtic religions, and I heard many things, I also thought, which one is it? I felt bewildered. This Brahmana was so bewildered that he was actually developing a spiritual crisis. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know my goal. I don't know really the means. I'm just so ignorant. I don't want to go back to material life. The crisis came. A good thing. I hope each one of you will get the same crisis one day, where you will sincerely review your life and understand, oh, I'm not going anywhere, if I'm very honest. I'm in this movement, but I don't take full advantage of the treasures. It's a spiritual crisis as something good. So in that spiritual crisis, Lord Shiva appeared to the Brahmin and said, go to Vrindavan. The Brahmin then had a second he had something. He went for a darshan of Lord Madhava, a deity in Kashi, and also Madhava gave him the confirmation. My dear devotees, this is such a wonderful point. If you ever feel that you wish to do more progress and you feel a little bit depressed that my life is not going where it should go, please let us learn from this Brahmana. Let us go to a sacred place like Vrindavan and pray before the deities. And you will see, he always talks. Krishna always talks to those who come into this situation in their spiritual life where they really want to improve, but it's not clear to them how to exactly do it. Especially Krishna talks in his dham, his own holy place. You know, I think it's clear to us. God has a home in this world, and if you want something to him, visit him at his home place. That's what you do to any person who is close to you. You visit his home place. You don't visit him in the office when you have something important to do. So if you want an answer in your life, do it like the Brahmana, and you will hear what beautiful answer he got. He went to Vrindavan, and there in Vrindavan, he met a most extraordinary personality. His name is well known in Krishna conscious circles. His name is Gop Kumar, and he just had a heart-to-heart talk with Gop Kumar. He said to him, whatever the goddess ordered me, I regularly do that. That means he got the instruction, chant this mantra regularly, and he regularly did it every day at the proper times. I do that. But still, I have no idea about the results of these duties, or even what kind of acts they are. Now here the qualification of the Brahmana will come. He didn't think, oh, that's, I don't know, you know, okay, let's eat something. He said, because I don't know where I'm going, where my life is going, I therefore think my life is worthless. And I simply want to die. Samatha prayer, you are sleeping. No. It was just an increased form of meditation. I'm sorry. I continue to live only by the mercy of Lord Madhava and Lord Shiva and his wife. These Madhava and Shiva had appeared in this Brahmana's dreams, and they encouraged and instructed him, and that gave him strength to stay alive. By their mercy, I was brought here to Vrindavan, and by their mercy, I have now faith. I have faith in you, and I sincerely request you to help me by just removing my confusion. In other words, this Brahmin had no idea what he was doing. He needed guidance, and he begged Gopkumar to be his guru and just deliver him. I feel this is a very important moment in every one of our spiritual life, that we come to a situation where we really feel, I do need now a clear idea about what is my goal, and I need to know it as clear as the archer knows where to shoot his arrow. It needs to be in front of my eyes, in other words. Or in front of my consciousness. It needs to be so strong that it occupies my every thought. That is what is called aikantyam. That means a single orientation in life to the exclusion of other orientations. And only when you have this in your mind, then you will be successful. Have you ever seen an archer who, I don't know, I could shoot here, could shoot there, maybe there, this sounds also all right, yeah, why not this? You know, he will not reach the goal. Sometimes devotees say, no, Satchinanda Swami, no, this is not true. Prabhupada said Krishna consciousness is an automatic process. It's just that you get into the movement, like you get into the train, and then automatically you reach your goal. Who of you believes this? No, I'm asking. Don't be afraid. Kanupriya, you are very intelligent. You learned many things in life. Do you think that you will automatically go back to home, back to Godhead? Gorangi, you are a free thinker from Bosnia. Do you think it will automatically happen? No, why not? It would be so much comfortable. Vivide? You tried, didn't I also tried, Gorangi. I hoped it would be an automatic process. My father is from the trains, you know. He is a director of the German railway. I thought, yes, let me hop in, you know, and... What this means, and it's an automatic process, is if you do the process correctly, it has the strength in this way. It's automatically, it's self-induced to bring you there. But you must do the process properly. And for this aikantyam is very important. This single orientation, this is my goal, here I will go. And do you know what? If you have this in your consciousness, you will get so much strength just from meditating about this. You will think, I'm not yet there, I know, But there's this hope in me. You will be called what is called Ashabanda. You will be bound by a sweet hope to that goal. It's, in other words, not a painful process to be single in your orientation. It will help you. It's not an austerity. I want to say this, especially to free thinkers, who don't like to endeavor in their spiritual life for some reason. I want to give you a little example which is on our present level of experience. There are many books written about people who had a hope in difficult situation and who were able to mobilize tremendous amounts of strength and reach their goals. For instance, I heard just an example of people, a ship sank. Not so long ago, and all the people were in the water, and some thought the coast is just very close by. They had the hope with maybe swimming for an hour or so, they would reach the hope, that the coast. Others knew better. We will soon investigate it, if it really was better for them. They had studied the land maps and they knew there was no coast nearby. But you know, those who hoped, the coast is very close, I will just swim for an hour and then I will be safe, you know. They were swimming for 15 hours and reached the coast. Those who knew better that there was no coast nearby, they swam for half an hour and then drowned. Is my example clear? When you have a hope, if you are bound by hope, which comes by being clear about your goal, one day, I wish to be in a picture like this. One day, this particular inner orientation, this inner hope, will inform your spiritual life with so much strength. But if it is not there, then you won't have that strength and you won't be able to persist in your spiritual life, or will just make many compromises on the way, which in the long run do not really help you. So, when Gop Kumar saw this Brahmana coming to him and saying, I really don't have this orientation. I don't know where I will be going. I have no orientation like this. He felt deep compassion in his heart. And he thought in his heart, let me help him and give him instructions, the instructions he needs to know. And these instructions, which you will hear in a moment, they are instructions also for all of us. This is a shastra, a scripture which has universal teachings to all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. And I would love you to hear these instructions and then think about these instructions deeply and hopefully come to this platform of aikantyam, of single-mindedness. Gop Kumar saw that this was a person who chanted the Gopal mantra. He was a spiritual practitioner, but still he lacked spiritual advancement and he did not have a clear conception where he's going. So he was thinking, this person has done everything he needs to do. Indeed, his life is a complete success. It's interesting how he thinks about him. This man is all right. He's successful. Gop Kumar would have said the same thing about all of you here. You have a spiritual process. Sve uredu. But there, something is still missing. You know, what he thought, Gop Kumar thought, when he said his life is a complete success, he said, this person is born in Mathura. He chants the Gopal mantra. So in this way, he has a connection with Krishna and Vrindavan. He has a connection with Madan Gopal. It's not yet realized, though. I think it's the same as for us. Your life is all right. You are sitting in a temple. That means you have Shraddha. You have some basic faith which brings you today in this temple. You are connected with an ancient spiritual tradition and you have a able spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, and so on. Yeah, and those who have taken other initiations by other disciples, you have an access to this tradition by your spiritual master. You also have a mantra which you chant, the Hare Krishna mantra. Your life is a complete success, in other words. Now let me tell you what a success means. There are two types of successes. One success is already when you are in the train station, and another success is when you have reached your goal. I think we all are in the train station. We are in the process, so to say, and so on. We may not have reached the goal. Only one or two of you are maybe pure devotees and self-realized souls. I want to talk very encouragingly. But you are connected with the process. Now you just need to know one thing: is how to fly. So to say, I'm always thinking like this. You know, when I'm flying a lot these days. Everyone recognizes me already in the different airports because I happen to be a little friendly when I'm flying. And all the people, where are you going? Yeah, this and that. And I'm often in this situation where I'm finally through all the luggage clearance, you know. My constant anxiety is I'm always overweight. Guru Hari knows of this anxiety, and even if I'm not overweight, I'm in anxiety, you know. Because, so when everything is clear and I'm sitting in the plane, then I'm thinking, my life is a success. I'm already in London, as good as in London. Only an hour is separating me, or 1.5 hours. And then the airplane starts to roll, and then it starts to fly, and I'm thinking, I'm already there. You know, I'm becoming very happy soon. I meet the devotees again. So in the same way, our lives is a success, that we are now in the airplane, in the process. But there's something you need to know so that you can fly. And this is what Gop Kumar is thinking. All that remains for this person is to achieve, is to see directly the lotus feet of the Lord. He has not seen the lotus feet of the Lord. And now, in order to do this, he needs to become attached not so much to the solitary chanting of the Lord's mantra, but to the Sankirtan of his names. So he has everything. He chants the Gopal mantra, but there is something else he needs. He needs to get out of his solitary practice of chanting japa of this mantra. This is how you chant the Gopal mantra, or you chant it like this. Not louder than this, huh? And he needs to have a shakti now, the Sanskrit word says, to nam kirtan. That's when you come together with other devotees and with feelings in your heart, that's very important as we will learn a little later, address the Lord in singing His name. Singing His name. He needs to have avshakti for this. Avshakti means the absorption of the consciousness in something. The abhinivesha of the chitta. This is what avshakti is, the definition of avshakti. He needs to become attached. You know, when you are attached to something, I always see it, or to someone, I always see this with the mothers in my lectures. They always get up and run out of the lectures. At first I thought, oh, can't they make up their mind if they want to go or stay, you know? But then I learned, no, their mind is really, while they're in the lecture, together with their child. And when they hear a little beep, beep of the child outside, they are immediately with the child, because their main attachment is with the child, which is why they're mothers. This is normal. If a mother doesn't have this, then she is most probably not yet 100% good mother. So this abhinivesha of the chitta. Sometimes we in ISKCON think, oh, I wish my consciousness would be as much absorbed in Krishna as it is absorbed now in my little boy or my little daughter. Some mothers have difficulties with this. Oh, now where I'm mother, my consciousness is always thinking about my children. I don't think of Krishna any longer. Oh, did I make the right decision to marry and get a child? They feel like this. I know, because they come to me with these questions. I always tell them, no, it is natural that your consciousness now absorbed, but it, you will see after your child is a little bit older and can play on its own, or can orient himself on it, or herself on it, its own a little bit through at least a few hours, you are more free. But here I want to say, the Brahmana says you need to be absorbed like that, you know, to Naam Kirtan, the chanting of the holy name. This absorption is a state of attachment which cannot be changed, you know. You need to have that. And I think we knew this, or we saw that in some of the kirtans of Ojashvi and Madhava, as we were sitting with them, chanting very very absorbed. Some of you were very absorbed, and we had a very good spiritual experience during this time. Especially, I thought, during Jamashtami, when Krishna was extra merciful and we sat in these kirtans, we could feel a little bit of Krishna's sweetness and of our spiritual orientation. See, mantra chanting in solitude often lacks the important element in bhakti, that is feeling a little bit of Krishna's sweetness and Krishna's mercy. I think all of you know you chant the Hare Krishna mantra in japa, and for some of you I have heard it's not always very easy. But in kirtan, all of us know who arrange festivals nowadays, if you give kirtan 4 hours, no problem, the devotees will come, because they feel that their consciousness is more connected during this kirtans. And that has a reason, because a Naam Kirtan gives us a little bit of connection with Krishna's playful nature, his Ausgelassenheit, you say, and his Madhuryam, his sweetness. It is a little bit easier for us. By the way, I'm a Kirtan man and a japa man. I have noted when you do the japa and you do it with feelings for Krishna, then it's the same with kirtan. But sometimes the japa is seen and is done because of its mechanical aspects, you know, sitting and counting. it is seen in a more Aishwarya way, in a more formal way of addressing the Lord than the kirtans. You never hear, for instance, during japa, devotees going, "Woo!" But during kirtan, you often hear it, you know. Have you heard when the rhythm picks up, everyone goes, and the Matajis go, "Ah!" The boys go, it immediately evokes more feelings. You know, during japa, during kirtan, this is absolutely acceptable. But imagine Mandaleshwari chants Hare Krishna and she goes, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna." Everyone would think, "My God, this is very intense today, the japa session of Mandaleshwari." But during kirtan, absolutely acceptable, you know, because of the nature of the two processes, you know. The Gop Kumar then comes to his conclusion. Certainly, no means to attain perfection is superior to the worship of Sriman Madan Gopal's lotus feet. That's the perfection, to worship Madan Gopal's lotus feet. That worship brings results far beyond what one could expect. You know, every one of you has some expectations of his spiritual life, but this is beyond, this is better than you can even imagine. This worship should be performed mainly through Nam Sankirtan. You know, if you want to do what is best for your spiritual life and brings results beyond your boldest imagination, do Nam Sankirtan. But do it in a special way. Do it with reverence, that means a Shraddha for Krishna's pastimes places, you know, like Vrindavan Dham, and do it for with affection for Krishna. It says, it should be performed mainly through Nam Sankirtan, this process, how to worship Krishna, along with reverence and affection for the many places of Sri Gopal's pastimes, places one should regularly visit. So, what Gop Kumar here says is that Nam Sankirtan is Samyak Kirtan. Samyak Kirtan means proper kirtan, which is done with the Madhurya, with the sweetness of Krishna in mind, and with faith, Vishwasa, to the Leela places to which one comes. This is why we will show you in a little while some beautiful places in Vrindavan. We hope that your heart will feel attracted and you will feel affection and faith in this, that this is God, Krishna's home, and that you will be inspired in your. Now, if this is a little bit still too theoretically to you, because you may be a newcomer in your here and not an older devotee who knows all these things, I will make it a little bit more simpler now for you. Now, the work, Brihad Bhagavatamrita, continues, the story continues, and then again, at another section, Nam Sankirtan, or singing the Lord's name, is highlighted. And again, it is said how it is properly done, because without properly doing it, you won't. It's not automatic, Gaurangi said to us, you know. So, properly done, what does this mean? It means to chant the holy name with some feeling of separation for Krishna. That, "My Lord, I have not yet attained you, but I so much wish to be connected with you. I'm trying, but I'm often failing. I'm desiring, but often my desire is also diverted to something else. My dear Lord, please invest in my case and help me in this process of chanting. So this is a feeling of a devotee who feels sankirtan, who does sankirtan. A feeling of longing is important. You know, when do you long for something? I asked the devotee this question. And the devotee said, when I'm really hungry, like today is Jamashtami and fasting, and I really long now for eating. Usually I don't think of eating very much, or but I really want to eat now. It's when you are empty, when you feel some emptiness. When you are full, you don't think of eating. So when you want to long for Krishna, if that desire should come, feel empty. This is now a strong word, I know. I hope half of my audience will not stand up and run out now. What I mean with this way of explaining it, you know, we all feel empty in our lives often. We feel something is missing to my perfection. It is not a normal feeling in this world. And I believe there's no one who doesn't feel a lack at times. Isn't it, Johannes? Some lack we always feel. Bhakti Ratna, some lack we feel. But what we usually do is, when we feel this type of emptiness, we bring things into our life, which we see a movie, for instance. Oh, I'm so bored, let me say. You start to feel the emptiness, but then you fill it with material things. So that is usually what we do in the material world. We feel some lacking, and then we just try to overcome the lacking. Isn't it, Christian? We do this. I know some devotees felt, oh, I'm empty as a monk, let me study something, let me run to the university. It's a normal thing, you know. We are not fulfilled, or so let me see something else, or you know, I must obviously explain this. It's very good to go to the university because you need to find your Dharma. But I'm now talking from a different perspective. I'm talking from the perspective is we all feel empty, and we do things to cross over the emptiness because that's an intolerable state. What is required here is when you feel that longing for Krishna, that you go and you fulfill that longing for Krishna with Krishna. I had a devotee who told me, I don't know what's wrong with me. Every 7 years, I like to change the place of residence. I just was in Switzerland, now I'm somewhere else, and I'm now thinking to go to Germany. But before I went to Switzerland, I was in Germany. Is there something wrong with me? And I said, I don't think there's something wrong with you. I think you need to see why you want to always change things and professions, and also it's because you have not yet found the right place in your life. But I would suggest that in your next move, wherever you go, you address the problem. Why are you not completely satisfied? Because you are not yet satisfied in your Krishna consciousness. You need to see, with latest when you move the next time, that you find something where you don't need to move any longer. That is the feeling. Someone doesn't need to move any longer when he has found Krishna in his heart. Finished journey, finished success, full success. Peace is now there. Yesterday one devotee quoted the Gita where it says, when one has attained this level of consciousness, there's nothing one wants any longer. And not even in the greatest of difficulties, one is shaken. You remember, maybe this was from the sixth chapter of the Gita. There is peace. There is the feeling of home. There's perfection. There is even your love body. Yes. We cannot see Krishna with these eyes. We cannot hear him with these ears. We can't embrace him with this body. But we can see him with love eyes. And we can hear him with love ears. And we can embrace him with a love body. Hare Krishna. Do you agree? Sounds proper, no? In Krishna consciousness, you will even get your love body and your existence, which is pervaded with that loving emotion towards Krishna, which you feel when you become aware of his madhurya, his sweetness. So as you engage in Sangatan, this is the point of Gop Kumar's singing, you will slowly develop a loving affection towards Krishna, and that loving affection will become the foundation of your further Sangatan, your further singing, until there comes a time when you have the Anahata Kirtan, that is the Kirtan which is inside of you, which does not stop. I want to tell you a story about my spiritual master. All of you know by now that I'm not a good person. And when my spiritual master came, I was younger than this, and still much more bold than now. So I wanted to see how does he look when he sleeps in his bed. So I climbed upwards, climbed on the balcony, and from the balcony I stood in the balcony and I looked through the window onto Srila Prabhupada's bed, and he was lying there very relaxed like a child. He used to take a noon nap after his noon meal. He took a little nap. And he was there, and you know what I saw? He was chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. He couldn't sleep. He slept, but he couldn't stop chanting. The devotee had reported in the early days that once Prabhupada had a severe heart problem, and they brought him into a hospital and put the anesthesia on him. And then there was a phone call from the hospital. When does the old man ever stop to murmur? You know, even an anesthesia, the mantra was going, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. He was always with Krishna. Do you know one thing? When Jagannath Das Babaji left the world, the tree under which he had chanted lost its bark. And the naked white branch of the tree was visible. And on that naked, barkless branch, the devotees could see the Hare Krishna mantra in letters, Bhushtam. Yes. So the chanting of these souls is so, the Krishna is so much present, because Krishna becomes attracted when a devotee chants with feelings. He says in scripture that he is not present in the heart of the mystical yogis, nor even in his Vaikuntha kingdom. He is attracted and comes where his devotees chant his holy names. So this is the process in the age of Kali. This is why our movement is called Hare Krishna movement and not Gopal Gayatri movement, for instance. Or there could be many other appellations. Braj Bhakti movement, although we are all about this, but our main aim is to now learn to do this kirtan, sankirtan, in a pleasing way, in a good way, because then Krishna comes. And you need to know this, how to do it. It's with a feeling of longing for Krishna, and also with an affection for the places where the Lord performed his pastimes. You know, in other words, these pastimes places remind us of the beautiful, inconceivable leelas of the Lord. That's why an important training in our Krishna consciousness school is the Bhagavatam, where we read about the Lord's pastimes. It's very important that each member learns about this so that he can chant properly in the holy names of the Lord. I have reached my end. I hope it was not boring for you, or let me say, I hope it was relevant. I only know from my own testimony, it started a little bit like, I don't know, maybe 18 years ago, that I could feel in my own Krishna consciousness, I was not really going anywhere. Hare Krishna, Bhagavati, you will go to Switzerland. Thank you very much for your wonderful service of your Krishna Lila. Really, you gave so much happiness to all of our hearts. Thank you, and I wish you many more such good Krishna Lilas and a good journey to the pastimes places of Gopal now. You will go on pilgrimage in 2 days, yes. Good. Hare Krishna. So yes, this... I was in this situation that I could honestly say from my life that I had the Gopal mantra, I had the Hare Krishna mantra, I had tons and tons of preaching seva, but I just didn't have that satisfaction of the heart that I was going to the becoming more Krishna conscious than the last year, the last year, the last year. And one devotee told me, you need to know where you are going. You need to have that sambandha, that inner connection to your goal. And I'm eternally indebted to this devotee, who then I made some effort to correct this mistake. And I'm not saying, please don't misunderstand me. I'm unfortunately a very difficult case in spiritual life. So I'm trying, and at least this trying gives me a lot of satisfaction. Because, you know, even if you don't have reached the goal, but if your consciousness is there, then you are satisfied. Jiva Goswami gives the example of someone who has a son and who works in a very, very different location. Maybe he works in Mumbai, but he lives in the Himalayas. But because he knows my son needs milk and I work for him, he feels satisfied even in difficult situations. In Mumbai, he knows my son will get milk, and I'm doing this for my son. So, this is bhakti. You think of Krishna; he's maybe in your conception far away from you at the moment, but you think of him, and you think, "I'm serving him now. I'm doing this now for his pleasure." And once this orientation is clear, you will be safe. And you will be happy, even if you are not yet always 100% good and accomplished. But this orientation is good. So I hope you take this with you. I have a little homework for you to do. Most of you will leave Goloka Dham and travel to your homes. Please take with you the impressions you have made during Jamashtami. You have heard so much about Krishna. You have chanted so much the holy name. And many of you did actually what Madhavananda and myself requested you to do on the Adivash day, where we said, at least tomorrow on Jamashtami, please put Krishna in the center and remove yourself a little on the side, you know. And many did this. I was talking the whole day today with wonderful devotees, and they all said, thank you for this tip. We tried, and it worked. One devotee said, I had come all this way with an international flight, and I was really somewhere else in my consciousness. But when I heard on the evening before Jamashtami that to at least tomorrow I should remove myself from the center and put Krishna in the center, I felt first, why are you always talking so directly to us? But then I tried. And you know, he said, there was one time when I was sitting in the kirtan, I was already 3 hours in the kirtan, I said, now I need to eat something. I don't care if it's fasting day or not. And I just need to do this and that and talk with some people, you know. But then I thought, okay, at least today I will just sit and glorify Krishna. And then he said to me, do you know what happened to me? I said, what? Tell me. I felt all the dryness was gone. I felt actually Krishna for the first time in my life. I now know what the devotees of what Prabhupada is talking about. That it's sweeter than material life. I know this now. I said, lucky you. I saw many running out at that time. But maybe next Jamashtami they have another chance. No? But many came to me. Many came. Many. I don't know how many. If I would remember with whom I spoke, I would faint most probably because it was so many. So, you know, it works. My dear devotees, it works. You just need to think about this one word, aikyantam. I'm saying it wrong. Aikantyam. You know, one end, one goal. Fix your consciousness there and you will reach the goal. No doubt. It is certainly will happen. Dobro. So now I want to see if you have any questions. There will be very brief question. As Gaurahari has one question. I would first like to go to the Mahasamaha. Your arm was up. No. Okay. Then it's you. You please think about how to condense the question. Mm-hmm. Yes, Gaurahari. It's like a flame. Flame needs oil, regular supply of oil. So our memory of the goal needs to be encouraged by regular doses of oil. It means nourishment. Like when we have a goal, we need to regularly nourish that. One thing for it could be to read appropriate literature, which is about this. Or what helps always very much is to meet devotees who have that same goal. You know, it usually says we should have Svajatiya Sangha. You know, Sangha who have has the same inner orientation, even amongst devotees. So you may do that, you know, if you don't find them so much in, you know, you can have email contact or like this with someone, or reading regularly. I think that is a very good thing, and praying also. I believe in prayer, Gaurahari. I believe especially in this, you know, the Sangsara Sagara Anatta. I do it really almost every day, because that focuses me on the goal. You can't pray and don't. When you pray, when you have the right prayer, your consciousness gets a little intense. You know, because prayers usually have this element of the 10 elements of Vaishnav prayers, and one is, you know, this dinatma, this you feel fallen and you feel longing, and all these are expressed. So you can't have a prayer which says, oh Krishna, help me, and not be affected by it. You know, your feelings will be affected. So prayers are really good. Sangha, it's usually always said Sangha, Svajatiya Sangha. That is stated, and how to keep on remembering the goal. Maybe the goal, maybe it's just also a concept still for you. That could be possible. If it's a theoretical concept, then we forget. So you need to mature a little bit more, and I really believe by selfless service in the mission, we come to a point where we really wish to, our desires become more clear. You know, once I met a devotee who said, I left Vrindavan, but I desire so strongly Vrindavan. I smiled. I didn't want to say anything, but I still said it, because it's a very nice devotee who can. You are just pretending. You have no affection for Vrindavan. If you have affection, like you say, you could not leave Vrindavan. Good pretend. You know, with friends you can speak like this. Most of us have concepts. This is a good desire. This should be, but it's not really there, because we are not pure in our heart. We have other impure desires. For most of us, we are like this. So that's a concept, you know, and concepts don't save us at the time of death. You know, you need to be, and I recognize where you are, and you need to move where you want to go with the appropriate steps. So especially in our super philosophical movement, there is many have only concepts in their heads. So that's good to know what is the goal, but it's also good to know what is the way to this goal. And very often the selfless service to the mission helps a lot, in addition to the sadhana, which we know, chanting and reading and so on. My dear devotees, I have seen in my journeys to Vrindavan that if I wouldn't have this preaching service, where I really have to surrender and really do many things which I ordinarily would not even think of doing, you know, like asking poor devotees for Lakshmi, you know, and so on, I can feel deep purification happening. Welcome, welcome. This selfless service is very good. Especially, you are now here in Goloka Dham and serving, where we all know what that means. That is a good training school. You will see, you will become so purified. It's such a wonderful thing to care for others who need help, to encourage devotees who need encouragement, who, you know, and to serve the deity selflessly. It's really a wonderful process of purification. And in a pure heart, you have pure desires. In an impure heart, you have impure desires. It's that simple. So if you want to remember the transcendental goals, you have to keep purifying the heart. Isn't it? When we have an impure heart, we want to eat and sleep. when we have scrubbed it a little, then we want so many other things. Good. So, Hare Krishna.
My question is, how can I long for somebody I never experienced?
A very good question. One of the most wonderful questions. Hey, can you understand the question? I long for pizza because I have seen a pizza and tasted a pizza. If I have not had this cultural experience, I wouldn't long. I wouldn't be able. This is the question I have thought so much about. You can't believe. It's also a doubt which I've heard so many times, and I need to think very deeply about it. It's a point which is addressed in Christianity a lot, and I will now go I will now surprise you by coming from a direction where you don't expect me to come. Are we attracted to the consolations of the Lord, or are we attracted to the Lord of consolation? That's the question. It's one of the questions in Christianity. Are we? You may say, what does this have to do with this point, please? I need to shake you out of what you think. Then I will answer you. Are you attracted to Krishna, translated now into devotee terminology, or in what Krishna gives you? Are you serving Krishna at the moment, Gaurangi, because you want to have a better life? Gaurangi is never, not he, he's always taking care of the child, yeah. She's very fast, sometimes she's there, sometimes not. are we attracted to Krishna because we feel better when we are with Krishna in Krishna consciousness and we get prasadam? Or are we attracted because of Krishna to Krishna? It's an important question. It's a good question. It's a question which we should allow ourselves to ask ourselves. It comes to the point of motivation. So, after having said this, I want to now answer your question. I will hopefully be able to tie the two together. I believe we all have a general yearning for God. Even the existentialist Jean-Paul Sartre, who didn't like this, said, it seems the human being is cursed to be a religious being who always wants God. He was a little bit frustrated because of this, but after thinking and discussing with many thinkers, he could observe that everyone gravitates towards God. And it's a subject matter which drives atheists It's crazy. They write books about it, like the God delusion. You may have heard one, Mr. Dawkins, don't read it, wrote a best-selling book called The God Delusion. They say, yes, everyone is searching for God, but there is no God. It's a curse. That's what they say, think, the atheists. We know differently. We have a divine spark inside of us. We are that divine soul, and it's part of the supreme soul. We are sparks of a big fire. We know we are not the body, and so on. In a general way, we all gravitate because of our constitutional position towards the fire. Just like the spark needs to come into the fire to be full of light, we all feel in just the same way we need God to become fully alive. So this is how your spiritual journey starts. If you are in the Hare Krishna movement and you are not convinced that there is a God, you need some more discussions with devotees, so that you also can feel after some time, what's your reason? Why do you believe? And then from there, you will make inquiries about the qualities of God. And now listen what happens. When you engage with the Lord in any way, that is, if you think of Him in any way, He will start to purify your heart and your deeper feelings will come out, which are now buried. So that's why we believe in Sankirtan. We engage in chanting Krishna's holy name. And as we engage in chanting Krishna's holy name, the deeper feelings which are buried, which are hidden at the moment, the deeper affections come out and begin to manifest in our lives. So then we yearn for Krishna really, and we yearn for Krishna for Krishna's sake and not for the benefits which we hope to get by this. Keep on chanting and test this, but this is our process, and you should see, make it work in your life. Thank you for giving us oxygen. It's actually Krishna who gives us oxygen. I request you now, we will make a little pause of exactly 7.5 German minutes. Something like that. And then we will show you our slides, A Day in Vrindavan, which I think you will like very much. This slide presentation is not a long presentation, so we should be done by 4:15 with our program. Thank you very much for now, and I hope to see you for the slide presentation. Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.